Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay with the Straight Wives Talk Show. This is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. Each week, my co-host is Misty Hall, and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to gay or bisexual men. We always welcome callers if you would like to call in, if you have an issue you would like to discuss. And I'm going to give you our call-in number, so if you get a pencil, you can call us in. And the call-in number is going to be area code 213. I'm sorry, wrong number for the call-in. No wonder you can't get there. Area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat that one more time. Area code 646-716-4893. And tonight we're going to be expecting a very special guest, Carol from the Straight Spouse Network, the SSN, and Carol should be calling us in shortly. In the meantime, Misty, how are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. I'm still in the mountains of where I grew up, of eastern Kentucky, enjoying the roots of where I grew up, just lots of connections. Just had family reunions, so got to see lots of family members that I've not seen in a long, long time. So it was just very pleasant to get to make those connections this past weekend and spending time with my family.
So is it hot there?
It is very hot here. It's been getting into the 90s. Just for the reason why I left Florida. But it's hopefully we'll get a break sometime this week and at least hit the 80s. That would be nice.
That would be nice. I think it's supposed to go down to the 70s here, which is my kind of day. But in the meantime, we do have our guest waiting for us, so hold on just one moment. And we're going to welcome Carol. Carol, is that you, hopefully?
It is me. It is I.
Hi, Carol. We're so excited to have you back. Misty and I are both here.
Great. Welcome.
Hello.
Welcome. Nice to be there.
And we always love when you come on our show because you always bring us such great information. And I think today was Gay Pride Parade in New York.
In New York it was, apparently all day. I didn't catch any of it on TV, but I know it was there.
I heard on the New York News, because I listened to that station because of the Yankees, of course, that there were like 2 million people for that parade.
And they had a hot day for it.
Yeah, and I think people were coming from all over. I think they were saying it was based on the fact of, with gay marriage now in New York.
Absolutely.
For support of that.
Mm-hmm.
And Carol, Carol is from the Straight Spouse Network. And maybe, Carol, you can tell our listeners a little bit about your organization.
Okay, we were formed back in the 1980s. Our founder, Amity Pierce Buxton, was contacted by the Gay Fathers of San Francisco to do kind of a study of the wives of the Gay Fathers of San Francisco and women in general who've been married to gay men. And from that study came a book called The Other Side of the Closet, which she wrote. And that was the beginning of our organization. And for many years, we were under the auspices of PFLAG. And if you wrote a check to us, you'd have to put in the memo, Straight Spouse Network. And then there was all this accounting stuff that went on. And ultimately, we became our own 501c3. And now you can send checks directly to us if you're of so of a mind. And basically, we have our mission to, we're current and former straight spouses and partners of lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people, mixed orientation couples, and our families and friends. And what we try to do is serve the community by reaching out to increase visibility of straight spouses and accessibility to support. I'm reading this, of course, from our brochure. Healing and empowering straight spouses to cope constructively, and building bridges between spouses, within families, and with the larger community through support, education, and advocacy. So that's basically who we are. We have a website, www.straightspouse.org, and we have face-to-face support groups all over the place, internationally as well as domestically, and we have 24/7 online support and many different support listservs online. I really don't take part in any of them, but many people are helped by that, especially those who don't have a group nearby. So that's, I guess, the long and the short of it. We promote PFLAG and COLLAGE and the Family Equity Council, among other things, for people to get help in other parts of this. And I don't know, if anybody has any questions, I'd be happy to answer them about the organization or about my experience being a straight spouse, which I found out about the first week of April of 1997. So it's been a long road.
Now, I do want to say this about you, Carol, because I really love you, and I've known you for many years now.
Mutual.
And I think that a lot of times that we think very similarly about many of the issues. And, you know, what I like about the Straight Spouse Network is that, you know, there are things that I think are pluses and minuses. You know, like with any other organization, like people say that I'm too tough, you know, that I'm black and white, that I don't have any shades of gray. And I guess that's pretty true. But, you know, at least with the Straight Spouse Network, when people are looking for those shades of gray, they can get support there.
Right.
And, you know, they get support where I won't get support. And that's why I think it's wonderful to have the Straight Spouse Network as a, you know, resource for people. And first of all, they have face-to-face meetings, which is, you know, on a regular basis. You can go and have meetings with people who, you know, like groups of people. Like, you run a group, right, Carol?
I run the one in Westchester County, New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we meet the second Thursday of every month. We have one in Manhattan, one in Mahwah, New Jersey, and the latest one is on Long Island. And we have one which calls itself Connecticut, but actually meets in Rye, New York, which is Westchester. So we have several in the New York metro area as well as all over the world.
I really can't overemphasize how important it is if you can get live help to get it. I know that when I first was going through this, you know, many, many years ago, before there were computers and before, you know, you could reach out to find anybody going through this, and I was in such shock that there was anybody else going through this. You know, I started having, you know, face-to-face meetings at my home every Saturday night, you know, that I ran for a few years. And it was really a wonderful thing for people to have a place to come to. You know, we had sometimes 12 people, 15, 20, you know, people, that at least other people could feel a sense that of connection. And do you find that too?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the whole idea of having support groups for whatever your situation is very valuable. For our issue, as well as for many other issues that are out there. It's just nice to meet face-to-face with people.
Yes, because I think nobody really understands what you're going through unless you've really gone through it. You know, people can be sympathetic. They can be compassionate. They can tell you how sorry they feel about it, but they just don't really understand it like someone who's gone through it. And I think that's with anything you go through.
Right.
But I think this is really unique in the sense, and I'm sure that you find it too, that, well, people say, well, there's lots of divorce support groups you can go to.
But they're not the same. I went to some divorce support groups before I found this network. It took me a whole year to find this network. You know, and I went to some divorce support stuff, which had some carryover, but it just wasn't the same.
Because I think the issues are so different. Do you think so?
Yeah, well, you know, in general, the regular divorce support network, very often it's because your husband's found another woman. Well, you could never be the man of his dreams, and that's a whole different issue here. I mean, if it's just another woman, it's not the same thing as, you know, not wanting a woman at all. Our men who say that they're bisexual, sure they are, but they don't want other women, they just want other men, and that's kind of a dividing line for what they say and what the reality is.
I think that I now redefine bisexual according to the terms of the men that I've dealt with, that bisexuality means that you're married to a woman but having sex with a man. Would you
say
that?
Yeah, that works for me. Well, mine certainly, you know, fit that description. I'm the only woman he ever kissed, and he's about 73 right now. So that definitely says something. He considered himself bisexual, but that's, you know, when you're going with, you know, what you call yourself, it's a whole different thing from what the rest of the world would call you.
And I say to people, I don't care what you call yourself. You know, to me, the penis is a dividing line, that once you want one, and once you have one, then you've crossed over that line.
Absolutely.
So I don't care if it's asexual, bisexual, metrosexual, heterosexual. You know, no matter what kind of sexual you want to call it, if it's not heterosexual, then it's not heterosexual.
Right.
Then it's gay. Misty, do you agree with that or no? Misty, are you with us? I hope I didn't lose Misty.
Oh, dear, you lost Misty. Maybe she'll come back.
I'm here. My phone is, I'm sorry, it was going out.
Missy's in the hills of Kentucky right now, Carol.
Oh, okay. It must be cool there.
I have reception. My reception is not great at this moment.
Yeah, I was saying that if men call themselves anything other than heterosexual, if they want a penis, then they can call themselves what they want, but it's gay. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do. And I don't think unless you've been a straight spouse, you can truly understand what we're saying here. I think that so many people have those rose-colored glasses on the other side that have not experienced that. I think we have such a better understanding of that because I think I heard Carol say just a little earlier, you know, that maybe she was the only person that her ex had kissed. You know, I mean, that's what we deal with. You know, my
the only female person.
He was, no, the only female. That's why I'm sorry, I didn't clarify that. You know, yeah, that was the big deal. You know, my ex-husband, when I started discovering things and getting curious about what he was doing because I knew something wasn't right, you know, the first thing he said, well, I may be bisexual. Well, you know, that automatically led me to so many other questions. Well, you know, bisexual should be mean that he should want me equally as much as he would want a male. Well, that never
happened.
Wasn't
the case.
That was, I can promise you that was not the case. So, you know, I just think that we have such a different understanding of that and what that means versus someone that has not gone through this. And until you have, you truly can appreciate those statements of how, you know, that really is a dividing line. It truly is. So many start saying that they're bisexual when, I think, when they get caught. I truly believe that. And it's just because they think that maybe it's a little easier to admit, possibly, or, you know, I don't know for what reason. And I just know
well, I think
for any reason it's hurtful.
I think they just can't say the word gay. They don't want to say they're gay, so they say they're bisexual because once or twice or three times they had sex with us. Whoopee-doo. You know, they managed to pretend that we're a man and, you know, get it up and have sex with us. And therefore
exactly.
They must be bisexual because they did it a couple of times.
Well, I think also that in their, you know, that they're emotionally straight. You know, they don't want to be gay.
Well, nobody.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You know, I think that it's more than just the sex thing. To them, they want to have the stability of a marriage with a woman. They want to have a wife. They want to have the children. They want everything that the straight life has to offer except for the sex. And for many, many gay men, especially until they get older and come to terms with themselves, you know, they feel like if they have sexual urges, well, most guys go through that. They don't think it's that unusual. But, you know, a lot of times they just compartmentalize everything and they're able to say, well, I'm not gay. They don't even think they're bisexual. They think they're straight, and maybe they have some issues.
But they just want to have sex with men. They're straight, really, but they just want to have sex with men.
Yeah, they think that gay is.
They think that's normal.
Right. They think that, you know, gay people.
They think all men want to have sex with men.
Yeah, I think they do think that. You know, I'll tell you the truth, Carol. You and I kind of grew up in the same generation, and I know that I was growing up during the years of those Kinsey reports. Do you remember them?
Oh, absolutely, and they were disproven.
And Dr. Kinsey
the continuum. Well, I'm 75% straight and 25% gay. There's no such thing.
Well, I think Dr. Kinsey must have been gay.
He was.
Because he was saying that 87% of all men go through homosexual experiences in their lifetime. You know, that it's not unusual for as far as experimenting or as far as, you know, trying it out when you're younger. That 87%, I mean, that was like really a high number. And that's what made me buy into the fact, well, you try it, you don't like it, you're not gay.
But then why try it again?
And,
but then,
you know,
sure, you tried it once, but then why keep trying it?
I guess you have to keep trying it until you really know you don't like it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Trying to convince yourself that you don't like it.
I guess. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I know men who will tell me there is no way in hell
that they would ever.
I don't care what Dr. Kinsey says. There is no way in hell they will have any kind of homosexual experience throughout their lifetime. And I believe them. You know, they're not making it up because, you know, they're homophobic or anything. They're just straight men who don't want to experiment around with men.
But if the norms and the laws were the other way, and it was the fact that we could only have sex with our own gender, I mean, how many of us would be sneaking out to have sex with men? Because we really don't want to be having sex with women. It's just the norms of our society that make this happen.
So let me ask you this question, in your opinion, Carol, since today was Gay Pride Day in New York and millions of people. Do you think that now that there's gay marriage, that that will really change anything in the future?
I don't think so, but I hope so. I really hope they marry each other and leave us out of it. I am so very much for gay marriage and equality and all that kind of stuff. They shouldn't have to marry us to have equal rights. It just it isn't fair to them and it isn't fair to us. So I just
I hope that
will be what will happen, but I don't know if it's going to happen or not.
See, because I still feel, I mean, I may be off, but, you know, I do a lot of thinking about this. I like your opinion too, Misty. I still feel that these guys who don't want to be gay really believe that they don't have to be gay. And that even if other gays are getting married, they don't want to be those gays. They want to be the straight guys. What do you think, Misty?
I believe, if I didn't quite understand all your question, I think what you're asking is, you know, even if, you know, laws are passed to where there will be equality in marriages and gay people can marry, you know, without any problems, I think that's what you're asking, will there still be gay men marrying women? Yes, I think it will still absolutely happen because it goes beyond the law. It goes beyond, you know, you go into religious reasons why people, you know, don't want to be gay, why they fight it and why they marry someone straight. You go into just other things that they want. They want to have a family. You know, if you take out, you know, pull out religion. You know, I've worked with couples, and, you know, a gay man has said, you know, I wanted a child. I loved her. I thought I could love her. I thought I could, you know, stay married to her. So, you know, and I've worked with a couple in other countries that were, the laws were very, very liberal, very liberal. And gay men have married women, and, you know, where gay men could marry men for years, many years. So is it going to erase gay men marrying women? No, I'm afraid it's not. Do I vote for it every time I get a chance? Absolutely. I vote for the equality of people getting to marry who they choose to marry, but I don't think it's going to fix it. I really don't. I think it may help. But I don't think it's going to fix it because there's too many. It's a cultural thing, and it goes beyond our culture, our American culture, because I've worked with people from different cultures, different religions, different countries. But it's not going to fix it. It's truly not, because some people want that package of what they think or perceive comes in a straight couple's relationship or family. I think it's
bad right now. I'm working with two men. One is from one of the Arab countries, and another one is from an Asian country. And I've been working with them for, I guess, a few weeks. And I just feel so bad because they are really stuck. You know, they.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think I'm making progress as far as getting them to leave the marriage, but, you know, they need to leave it and tell the wife the truth why they're leaving it, not make her feel in any way responsible. And, you know, it still comes back to the fact they say that's not a possibility. We can't tell her the truth because we're not allowed to do this in our culture. And I don't know how to respond to that. You know, I don't know what the answer is. But that's why I say in America we do have choices. And this is a country where people should take advantage of the fact that you can walk away. You know, Carol, I don't know if you see this in Straight Spouse Network, but I see so many women who sit and languish for years and years and years.
We
because
certainly
they can't,
do.
They don't have proof. They haven't walked in and saw their husband having sex with a man. You know, like no matter what you tell them until they get the actual proof in their hands, you know.
And sometimes they never do. And they just have to go on with their life and not spend, you know, years and years looking for proof, you know, innocent until proven guilty. Well, yes, but... Even if he weren't gay, are you getting from this marriage what you need? I mean,
right.
You know,
you
assuming
know
that you don't know that, do you still want to continue getting what you know, getting from this marriage what little you're getting, putting in 150% and getting 10% back?
And I understand that women are so emotionally broken down in these marriages. And, you know, if you spend years with somebody who's making you believe that you're worthless or have no value, or that nothing you do is right, that you really do lose your sense of self-confidence and self-esteem. Are most of the people, when they come to your group, are they in a marriage situation, or they, I mean,
oh, they're mainly in a marriage situation. There's only one person who came recently who's been engaged on and off for 5 or 6 years, and she keeps pushing the marriage off because she senses that this may not be right. And he keeps trying to, you know, push the date forward, and she keeps pushing the date back. And, you know, personally, I hope in the end that she finds somebody who can, you know, fulfill what she needs as a woman. But it's not up to me. You know, you can just, you know, keep take people where they are and support them and hope that they figure this out.
Right. And that's the one thing with the Straight Spouse Network. For people who are looking for support, you'll certainly find much more through there than through me, because as I'm very clear, I don't support anything other than getting out of your marriage. I don't say you have to do it today. You can have a game plan. You know, you can, for 5 years from now, I don't care, as long as the plan is to get out, not to stay in. But people, you know, with SSN, because I sent them to you, you know, they go there hoping that there's some kind of miracle that's going to make their marriage different than everyone else's. Do you find that a lot?
The miracle that they're looking for is the miracle that they can believe their husband when he says, I'm not acting on it. And I always say, I hope you're the one in a million for whom that's true. But, it, you know, later on, you know, of course, 99.9% or 100% basically find out that, yes, it's been going on all along, but he just didn't admit it, you know. And so, oh, no, no, I'm faithful. I'd never act on anything. I'm just exploring my sexuality and really not sure of what's this, what's that. And then come to find out later that they've been, you know, basically acting on it all their lives throughout the marriage and then exposing you to terrible diseases and other terrible things.
Can you talk a little bit about that, Carol, about women with diseases?
Well, within Straight Spouse Network, I have heard, you know, very, very close, you know, very, very close to people who know of a family where the husband didn't tell his wife that he was HIV positive, full-blown AIDS, and they had a baby, and all three of them are dead. And there's someone else in Straight Spouse Network who I know personally who basically nursed her husband right until the moment he died of AIDS, and she knew before he did. That he was HIV positive and had AIDS because he never wanted to know. So he never asked, he never got tested, and somehow somebody texted him and, you know, and leaked it to her before he wasn't well, he was in a hospital, and so she knew basically before he did. And then, you know, then she needed some explanation and he came clean. But before that, they were chasing doctor after doctor for all of his various medical problems. You know, until she did find out. But you, I mean, everybody who comes new to us, we recommend they get all kinds of testing done, like first thing, because, you know, you really have to know these things. So,
you do, and as painful as it is, you know, it's something that definitely women need to do, and at least has a peace of mind, you know, because once again, there are so many other kinds of sexually transmitted diseases that we have our women, you know, have caught,
oh,
you know, way
herpes,
beyond.
Oh, absolutely, herpes, forever.
I mean, we have herpes, we have... Yeah. Syphilis, we have gonorrhea.
Hepatitis, A, B, and C.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different sexually transmitted diseases that our women find themselves with.
And they're not all they're not terminal, but they're things that change the rest of your life because they're lifelong diseases where you'll be treated for the rest of your life. Because they're a long-term condition, but they're not, you know, terminal really anymore. But it's something to take into
account. They certainly are altering in how you, you know, conduct the rest of your life.
I mean, say you get divorced and
so
say you have another
woman to get
and
tested.
Say you get out and date again, how do you tell your next boyfriend that you've got one of these diseases?
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, it's really difficult.
It's a life-changing
thing. And do the women who come to you, do they seem to understand the importance of getting tested?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. If they haven't figured it out, which most of them have, then we certainly suggest it. You know, just, you know, be sure you get tested. And if you've had sex with them recently, get tested again in a few months, you know, just because some of these things incubate for a while. But there's definitely a health risk to having sex with gay men or bisexual.
Have you ever
men.
Dealt with any women who have transgendered husbands?
No. No, not directly. When that has happened, I've met a few people, but I haven't had them in my group. They tell
mm-hmm.
me that, and the ones who stay together after that, they say they didn't marry a body part, they married a person. And there's certainly validity to that. But but that's the answer you get when you ask people, you know, people who are married to transgenders why they're staying together, and they say, well, I still love the person, it's just a body part that's changed. Okay.
Yeah, I guess that sounds
like a... I can accept that.
I'll tell you,
the transgenders are the ones I have the most sympathy and sympathy for. I mean, it's got to be hell being in the wrong body. I have so much sympathy for these people who go through the medical and the psychological and all the other things to get themselves into the body that they think they belong in. It's just got to be hell.
I agree. It does have to be hell, but I also feel I have, you know, several women who have come to me with this situation and who really don't want to stay in it, and they feel, like, pressured. Well, you mean you're leaving just because your husband's changing his sexuality? Yeah.
Yeah, well, it does change the person. I mean, the Catholics say when they give you a divorce in the Catholic Church, it's a mistake of person, that you thought you were marrying this person and you find out you're married to somebody else.
Yeah, I mean, I don't feel that any woman should have to feel the compelled to stay in any situation where she's not comfortable.
Nope.
I mean, it's just like men who dress up who are cross-dressers, and I know the majority of them are straight. And I say to women that, you know, there are women who couldn't care less. They go on cruises with them. They have cross-dressing, you know, cruises where the husbands and wives are both there. And I say, if you don't care and you're comfortable with anything, that's great. But if it bothers you, you never have to feel funny because something like that would bother you. Would you agree with that, Carol?
Absolutely, yeah.
I mean, I
don't
think people
it's your life, and perhaps you're only going to have one life, and so you want to live the best life you can and the one where you'll be the most comfortable.
I always tell women you should never do anything that's not comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's sexually in bed, whether it's, you know, I've had women who are so desperate to hang on to their marriages that they do things that they normally wouldn't do. You know, they'll go and try, you know,
strap
going
on or
to
something.
All kinds of sex scenes with their husbands, you know, with three people in bed, or the husband's going to say, this will make us stronger, you know, they give into it even though they don't want to.
Well, if it doesn't
do
work
it
for her, then it
twice,
doesn't work
you know,
as far as I'm
concerned. To them, and I say, never feel compelled to do anything that isn't comfortable for you.
Mm-hmm.
But that's
no,
how I feel.
Absolutely. If you're not happy, then you get out. If it's not what you want, you get out.
And then people say, well, you know what? Marriage is a lot more than sex. You know, what's your response to that?
It is.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why most of us stay married as long as we do to these men. And then one day it hits you, hey, this is why the sex is so bad. This is why the marriage is so bad. And it's nothing over which you have any control. You know, if you're fatter or thinner or blonder or brunetter or smarter or dumber or whatever, it's just, you know, it's just never going to get better. And if you're only going to go around once, you might as well have the best life you can.
You know, it's funny. I had a woman who's been in touch with me, you know, this week. And one thing that really upset me that she said was that, you know, she's been divorced now for, you know, the last 5 or 6 years. And finally, you know, her husband has come out to one of their daughters and said that he's gay. And, of course, all these years, he would never say that's the reason why the marriage didn't work. And he would tell his children, well, for the first 18 years, we had a, quote, normal, unquote, marriage. And I said to her, there's nothing about normal when you're married to a gay man. Now, I mean, am I taking that too far? Do you agree with that?
Well, I think some of the guys in the beginning really, you know, think that they're young and they've got testosterone and they can fantasize that you're a man and they can have, you know, sex with you. I think that diminishes as they get older. Anyway, I mean, it looks like a normal marriage from the outside. Really, I think a lot of these marriages do look absolutely normal from the outside. When our women get together, our women and men get together in my group, they say, oh, they thought we were the perfect couple. They can't believe we're breaking up. And everybody comes in saying that because from the outside it does look like the perfect couple.
Yeah, but did they think they were the perfect couple?
Well, you know, it's really hard to say. I always knew there was something wrong, but I figured as I looked around the neighborhood, none of the other couples looked any happier than we were.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, the other couples apparently had different problems, you know, that maybe could have been solved one way or another. Our problem could never have been solved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you begin to think, gee, what can I do to make this better? And, you know, if you're a straight wife with a gay husband, there's not a lot of things you can do to make it better unless you feel like doing things that you're not comfortable with, I guess. Although, thank goodness, my ex never suggested that to me. I don't think he would have gotten very far suggesting that to me.
Yeah,
I can't imagine he thought it would tip his hand and I'd figure it out if he suggested, I guess. I don't know. But we certainly had very little sex life. Thank goodness, because, you know, I could be sick.
You see, I just don't think that I could act like I'm, you know, let's say a gay person. I would have a really hard time, first of all, pretending that I'm gay when I'm straight. And then I'd have a harder time going into a relationship with a gay person and having to pretend, like, you know how you said, let's say the tables were turned,
mm-hmm.
and let's say that gay was what was, you know, the norm. And straight wasn't, and I had to pretend that I was a gay person in order to be accepted by society.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, maybe I could pull that off, but I don't know how I could be in a relationship with someone and not be having to weigh and measure every single thing I do, fearing that I'm going to get caught.
Well, that's why so many of them are robotic. I mean, my ex was robotic. I mean, he just was afraid to have any kind of an emotion because it might betray the fact that I might figure out that he was gay.
Mm-hmm.
Mine just had no integrity, and integrity, I think, is a big part of the issue. I mean, he knew all along that he was gay, that he'd been having sex with men, you know, forever. And it's just a matter of lack of integrity that he, you know, but he had so little integrity in so many other ways. I mean, he was just a pathological liar. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I just married a bad person who happened to be gay. And maybe because he'd had to lie all his life, maybe that became a very fulfilling habit for him.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think that really happens. I think that a lot of men or women, you know, not just men, because we're straight women, I like, you know, I'm talking about gay husbands, that
yeah.
they've been living a life that's a lie, you know, for so many years that lying just becomes part of their lifestyle.
Yeah.
I don't think they're necessarily trying to be big liars. I think they just become very comfortable with lying because they have to live a lie every day. You know, and I know how easy that trap is to kid yourself and to fool yourself.
And
you know,
I think some of them did think when they got married that it would cure them, that, okay, if I marry the right woman, this is going to cure me. And I think some of them did go into it with that thought that, okay, I've had gay relationships, but you know, now I'm going to get married to a woman and this is going to really be, you know, how I'm going to spend the rest of my life. And, you know, they do try to play along with that until they figure out that it doesn't work.
Yeah, I think that the majority of men go into these marriages with good intentions. I think they love their wives to the best of their ability. I think they know how to find women who are the prototype of what they're looking for. You know, I think that many of the women that they find have issues. You know, I'm certainly one of them.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, it's easy to take someone, you know, who's had issues. And if you have issues, you know, you kind of hope maybe that'll work better.
Yeah.
You know, for whatever reasons, that they'll be more accepting of you.
I can't tell you how many times a woman has told me that her ex-husband is now going out with a guy or married to a guy who is just like her, only a man. I can't tell you how many times I've heard that it's her in male form, that the new boyfriend.
I think
a lot of her own qualities, except that it's a man.
I think that's very true.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think in many ways it's very true because, you know, that same person is looking for the same kind of person,
mm-hmm.
you know, with the same personality that you had in most cases.
Right.
But I think that, you know, the whole thing is that they go into these marriages with good intentions, but the good intentions just don't happen, and they let it go too long before they do what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So I don't blame
them. And then some of them never do come clean. Some of them absolutely, my ex-husband still swears under oath that he's not my ex-husband, that he's not gay, and that I'm crazy and I broke up the marriage. I mean, he will swear that under oath.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which is ridiculous, you know, but he wants to lie and believe it. I don't know who he thinks he's fooling. Everybody else in the world knows.
And they, you know, from the surveys that I read one time that was done through my friends in England, over 60% of gay men will never tell their wives.
Never, never.
They'll leave, but they won't tell them why, and they'll make the wives think that they did something wrong.
Yep, it's all their fault. Well, they made, or you once said, they made them gay. I loved your little magic wand. Well, if I can make you gay, I can make you ungay.
Yeah, but
I thought that was terrific, your little magic wand.
I know, but that's how we made them gay. We haven't figured out the reverse yet. Still working on that one. But,
we need a new recipe.
I know. Well, it seems so much easier to make them gay than to make them ungay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that way, one we have not figured out yet. You know, it's like once you go, you never come back.
It's a one-way ticket.
You know, we find with a lot of our women that, you know, when a lot of these men, once they do come to terms with who they are and they leave, it's kind of like a gay alien came after them and abducted them. It's like the man we knew, we loved, we lived with, he's not there anymore. Do you find that with, you know,
absolutely, absolutely. We do not know the man we've been living with. And that's the scary part when you do figure out that they're gay. It's, oh, my God, who is this person I'm living with that I know nothing about? I don't know the most basic thing about this. He's an absolute stranger. And I'm living here with him in this house. And he's the parent of our children. And it's amazing how many of our women are faithful to, like me, absolutely faithful to these guys. I once almost had a one-night stand with a guy just to prove that everything still worked. I mean, in the end, I didn't, but I came really, you know, pretty close to doing this just to make sure everything still worked because it had been so many years since I'd had sex with my husband. And we're the faithful ones, and they're off. I mean, the minute that they have sex with the first man, they've broken the marriage vows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, forsaking all others till death do we part. Hello? Which part don't you understand?
Mm-hmm.
So while we've been home being, you know, being faithful, they've been out having a good, you know, having their sex where they wanted it. And
do you find that many of the marriages, or the women that, you know, come to you were not good marriages?
Some of them say they were good for a long time, and then, you know, say, you know, the last 5 years or 10 years, things all, you know, kind of changed. But maybe they were just noticing it then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you never know. I mean, certainly I never thought. I kept thinking mine would get better. Right from the beginning, you know, from that song and Fiddler on the Roof, well, they'll learn to love each other from the Matchmaker song.
Mm-hmm.
I kept thinking that it would get better. It would get better when we got married. It would get better after we had a kid. It would, but by the time I've had 3 kids, I realized that as soon as the last one left the house, this was not for me. There were better things in store for me, and in the end, I didn't wait till the kid left the house because, you know, I just couldn't do it anymore. But that was my original thing, was, well, it would get better. It wasn't good now, but it would certainly be better after we got married. It would certainly be better, you know, after we had a kid. That would, and it doesn't work. It could never have gotten better. But
now,
I didn't know that at the time.
But were you able to communicate any of these feelings with him through the years when things were off?
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said, as I looked around the other, you know, my friends and neighbors, none of them looked like they had any better marriage than I did. There were, you know, there was no model out there for what the perfect marriage should look like. And I just looked around and said, you know, my marriage is about the same as all the people I knew. And I wasn't talking about gay. I was just talking about other marriages. It didn't look like they were, you know, any better than mine. So I didn't, you know, I never suspected.
Carol, let me ask you this question. When people say this, you know, make this comment, well, at least it was a man he was cheating, not a woman. You know, that would have been much worse. How do you feel about that?
I don't think that would have been much worse, because at least you can compete with a woman. We've a guy in one of the groups that I'm affiliated with that said, well, look, I kept a lesbian happy for 14 years. And he thought that was pretty good. And as soon as he found out it was another woman, he said, well, I can't compete with that. You know, I don't have the right body parts. Never be the woman of her dreams. So at that point, you're kind of off the hook.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very different when they're going with a woman. Then it could be something, you know, where this other woman has something on you. But, you know, another man, I think we're off the hook on that one.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you? I mean, don't you agree?
Well, first of all, I really do feel that wouldn't matter to me, you know, cheating is cheating.
Oh,
but the emotional impact of being with a gay man is so much more difficult. I mean, I've been married to straight men before. So, you know, man, before. So the thing, and I've been involved now for 18 years with a straight man. So
I hear it's a lot better.
Well, I don't know. Well, my boyfriend is wonderful, but I had an ex-husband before who was straight, but he was screwed up in another. He had sexual addiction.
Oh.
But, you know, it wasn't really much better. But the point is that, at least, you know, once again, he wasn't cheating on me, you know, so the point is that, but when somebody is gay, it's just not a sexual thing. There's so many other aspects of that, because you're living with somebody's lie day in and day out, and they act differently with you, I believe, than a straight man would, because, first of all, they feel trapped themselves. They don't really want to be there, even though they say they want to be married. You know, their minds are somewhere else. No matter
how
much they love
married,
you.
I think they like the idea of having a wife and, you know, for the outside world to look in and say, oh, you have a wife. I think they like the services that we provide other than sex, you know, the maid service and the cooking service and, you know, all the other stuff that we provide as being wives. But, you know,
yeah,
when men
like,
get together, they provide these for themselves. They tend to be a more feminine and more masculine man, and the same with the lesbians. You have, to, you know, the lipstick lesbians and the butch, and, you know, they seem to fill in those parts that are missing from the other person as well.
You have a lot of men who come to you who
have
lesbian wives?
Yeah, not a lot, but we have about a third.
About a third
of men and about two-thirds are women.
Do you feel that men are able to recover from this faster than women?
Absolutely. The next thing you know, these men are getting married to women.
Mm-hmm.
To straight women. Often women they meet in our group. I mean, there's a lot of them who meet people in our group. And we also have gatherings occasionally.
Mm-hmm.
We have a big one in Tampa every October. We attract people from all over the world. And
mm-hmm.
a couple of weeks ago, we had two simultaneously, one in, I believe, New Mexico or Arizona, and one in Chicago. Sedona, Arizona, the other one in Chicago. And they were happening the same weekend, either I think last weekend or the weekend before.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of opportunity to be face-to-face with other straight people, and you have something in common to begin with.
Yeah, that's what I always say. It's wonderful to get support, you know, when you're straight, no matter where or how you have.
But I think the men do. The men do recover, I think, faster than the women. They somehow don't feel violated and they're betrayed. I don't know.
Some men knocked me when I mentioned that, but I really do feel that women have so much more to contend with because I don't feel that, I mean, I'm not saying the men don't hurt. Please don't misunderstand that. I know they do hurt. But I think they're able to recover better. You know, I don't think they have the same issues as women have to start with. And in most cases, women still have more responsibility, I believe, with children than men do.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you found that with the men that you have. I'm not saying they're not having responsibility with the children, but I don't know if they're the primary caretakers.
No, in general, they're not. We have a couple, you know, that I know of that are because the women just went off with their girlfriend and said, "Okay, you get the house and the cake. I'm out of here. I'm going with my new love." So we get a few of those, but in general, it's the women who are the caretakers of the children, which is fine. I mean, that's like it should be. That's fine.
Yeah, I mean, I have no issue with that.
Because in those cases, the men are going off to be with their boyfriend,
to pull their lives together, to go out dating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, to meet women that way, where women are, I think, are far more burdened with, you know, a lot of different issues.
I know, so I certainly have issues. I haven't dated. I have issues. I have trust issues, and, you know, they're pretty much insurmountable. Maybe they won't be at some point, but it's been a long time, and, you know, I just don't trust people.
Well, I also tell women that you don't have to have somebody in your life to be happy.
Right.
But a lot of women find, you know, satisfaction being on their own, that, you know, it shouldn't be that, well, I can't leave this marriage because I don't know if anybody will ever marry me again. Okay, well, what if they don't? You can still be happy, right?
And it's better to be alone out of the marriage than alone in the marriage.
And I tell that to women. Sometimes you could be living with someone and you're more lonely because
mm-hmm.
they're there, but they're not there. Or they make you feel inadequate because you are there.
I think there's a difference between being alone and being lonely. I mean, I am alone in my house, but if I'm lonely, I pick up the telephone or I go on the computer or I go out, I make a date with people, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't get lonely. I just happen to really love being alone. I mean, whatever mess I leave behind is what I find when I come in and not the mess that somebody else has made for me to clean up.
Yeah, I think as we get older, we enjoy that independence.
Mm-hmm. And I do what I want when I want without having to account to other people for it.
But I think a lot of people just are very stuck. You know, they haven't worked in a long time. They don't know how financially they're going to get by. And I always tell people you can live in a room and be happier than living somewhere where you're miserable.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You can have a mansion and be miserable. You know, it's not the space you have. It's what, you know, what's going on in that space.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are just afraid to make that move. And how about this one, Carol, when they say to you, "Well, I would do something, but, you know, I'm so afraid. What if I'm wrong? What if he's not gay?"
Well, if he's not gay, it doesn't matter if you're not being satisfied with what you need to be. If you're not being, you know, if your husband is not being the kind of a person you want to live with anymore, if you're not getting, you know, what from the marriage, what you should be getting, then that's it, whether he's gay or he's not gay. It's time to move on and, you know, just live your life. But you're right, that women have a lot more insecurity, both socially and economically. And, you know, gee, you know, not even who is going to want me, but, oh, my goodness, I've never been alone. I married him right out of high school or right out of college. It's the only life I've known. So you have a certain comfort in inertia. And really getting divorced, I mean, it's so easy to get married and it's so hard to get divorced. I mean, you've got the lawyers and you've got the judges and you've got all this money going out to these people because it's so complicated to get divorced. I mean, getting married costs you, what, $35? You know, you get a little piece of paper, you both sign it, you have a few witnesses, and all of a sudden half of everything of yours is his and vice versa. And, you know, it's just so easy to get married and so hard to get divorced. I mean, thousands and thousands of dollars it costs to get divorced. And
yeah,
that's kind of an unfair thing, and it's horrible. I mean, a lot of people, you know, go into deep depression or suicidal over having no control over their life during the divorce.
And that's another thing that I really wanted to fight for. I just haven't had time yet because I've been a little tied up. But, you know, when I have the time, I don't think it's fair that women have to pay all this money to get divorced from a gay man. You know, I understand that you both went into the marriage, but... And things do happen, but these are not the kinds of things that people would split up over like a mutual disagreement on something. This is something that's totally different. And why should a woman have to pay money, pay alimony? We've had men who've gone after their wives for alimony. They're a gay husband and they want alimony. Can you believe it?
Mine got it. Mine got a lump sum, a huge lump sum, which I consider the price of my freedom, but not fair.
No, that wasn't fair. You know, and it really upsets me to have to hear that, you know, you have to lose out on not only the marriage, but the fact that, you know, you have to pay something.
Something.
You know, I feel the women should have to pay nothing and that the men should pay all legal expenses. You know, you're gay. Okay, we can accept that. It's not your fault, but it's certainly not our fault. You know, we went into
this
marriage.
But the
marriage,
was a fraud. There should be some way of annulling it really easily.
Yeah, I know there
because,
is a way to do annulment.
Because it was a fraudulent contract. I mean, if you sold the house and you knew there was a major plumbing problem in that house, I've never said this before, you know, and you sold that house and the contract went through, and later on, like, you found out that the plumbing problem had been there all along and the guy knew about it or whoever, the previous owner knew about it, you would have legal recourse to say, hey, this contract was not valid. It was a fraudulent contract because I didn't have full disclosure. Well, heck, if this is not a big plumbing problem, what is it?
Mm-hmm.
And you did not get full disclosure when you signed your name on that contract.
Well, I just feel that it's not right that you go into these marriages with good faith, and then if something stops it, like homosexuality, once again, it's not a blame. You can't hold anybody responsible for it. But on the other hand, you know, the woman should not have to be held accountable for your homosexuality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a shame it happened, but it did. Now you have to at least do the right thing, pay for the divorce, make sure that your wife and children are provided for. But, I mean, I think that would be the right thing. You know, I think it should be called, as I, you know, stated before, like, not a no-fault divorce, but a your-fault divorce. Well, that's how I feel.
Yeah,
you know.
No, you're right. I don't know if the laws are ever going to change. I wish you a lot of luck in your efforts on that behalf. I can't imagine with all the legal problems out there that this is one of the ones that's going to be solved in the near future, but I wish you lots of luck on it.
I think any woman who has a husband where there's any kind of, you know, odd situation like this or any kind of abuse involved, you know, that...
Well, that
women watch
fault.
That thing.
Abuse
I mean,
fault. Yeah.
Right? And this
yeah,
is
absolutely.
His fault, and he should pay for the divorce. I mean, that's the least he could do. I mean,
or just simplify it so that nobody has to pay. Just divide everything up. You know, however equitable you can be, still, you know, not having, you know, whoever is the one at fault taking everything and moving forward and leaving you and the collateral damage behind.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's the whole divorce thing has got to be straightened out. It just costs too much to get divorced in legal fees.
I know.
It's just unconscionable that lawyers
terrible.
Are charging $550 an hour and it takes hundreds and hundreds of hours to get this thing done. So they do have mediation, but in mediation you're not always equals, and you've got to be equals in mediation. What were you saying?
Let me ask your opinion of this. When women tell you that their husbands say that, okay, you know, I'm gay, and but you can't tell anybody. I don't
sure,
want anybody
to tell.
You go
into the closet they just came out of, right.
So how do you feel about that?
I think that's ridiculous because it affects your life.
Mm-hmm.
But then I really have disagreement with a lot of people in the organization over that. I mean, people say, oh, you can't out him, you can't out him. Well, you know, it's not his life anymore. It's my life now that's affected by this. And, you know, I'm the one who in the grocery line when this first happened, who if you stood behind me on grocery line, you knew my husband was gay. Because for that whole first year, I hadn't found any organization like this, like yours and mine. And I was just sure I couldn't be the only one dumb enough to marry somebody who turned out to be gay. So I told everybody I could possibly talk to, I mean, even strangers on the grocery line. And it didn't bother me that I was outing him because I knew and he knew and everybody else seemed to know, but he thought there were people who didn't know and he would have liked not to have been outed. Well, T.S., you know, it's my life and it's my story too. So if it were a matter of him losing his job or being kicked out of the military or, you know, whatever else, I might have had second thoughts if he had admitted it and treated me fairly. But he didn't admit it, and he didn't treat me fairly. So I had no loyalty to him at all.
How about when it comes to the kids, Carol? What's your point of view on it?
The sooner the better. The sooner that they know the whole truth and they don't blame you. Otherwise, you're the fall guy. You're the one, oh, you made Daddy leave. You know, why did you make Daddy leave? And this is what happens in the families who don't tell the kids very early on. You become the bad guy. And then finally, you know, finally somebody else tells the kids. Now, isn't it better for you to tell the kids than for them to hear it somewhere else? Because it's going to get out. Secrets get out.
Mm-hmm.
Secrets are toxic. They're the elephant in the room. And, you know, cause my personal theory, in the organization we don't tell people what to do, but my personal theory is the sooner that more people know, the more support you get, and then everybody understands, and the kids don't think it's their fault that you're breaking up. So many kids think it's their fault, that if they were better or got better grades, mommy and daddy wouldn't be fighting and wouldn't be breaking up. I mean, it's just, the truth just sets you free on this, and the sooner the better. You get a new normal, and everybody knows. And sometimes when children find out later on that you knew for all these years and didn't tell them, you know what, you didn't love me, you didn't trust me with this information that affects my life. So there's a lot of backlash. And I think the sooner that everything is out in the open, the better. But that's just me. I mean, I'm not a big secret keeper.
Uh-huh.
I never was, and I probably never will be, because, first of all, my memory is not so good that I'd remember whatever lie I told. But just it's a matter of integrity. If it's a truth, it's a truth.
So how about, you know, as far as, is there a certain age where it's better to tell the children, or?
Well, I think if they're infants and, like, you know, very young children, they don't even know what it means that they're gay. You can, I guess, tell them as well as you can, well, daddy really wants to be with men and I really want to be with men, and that's, you know, that doesn't work too well for us. But older kids know. I mean, by the time they get into, you know, junior high school, certainly in high school, they've all got gay friends. It's on television. It's on the computer. You know, it's not such a big. And the other thing with telling your kids is that I believe that there's a genetic component to this, and
uh-huh.
you just may or may not have a kid who finds out that they're gay, and you don't want them to live the same life that you and your husband have lived. So you want to get to PFLAG, and you want to tell them, well, it's okay to be gay, just don't marry straight people. There's whole other conversations that go on so that your kids don't commit suicide because they think it's, you know, terrible to be gay and they don't want to be gay, and the only way they see out of it is suicide. You don't want that to happen. And a huge percentage of our people have children who are gay and lesbian, and that's just fine and dandy. You know, you join PFLAG and you support them, and you just make sure they try not to marry people who have the opposite sex.
I think, you know, that's a little simplified, because I know that a lot of women, the thought of having a gay child, even though they know they can always, it's their child, they're always going to love their child. But, you know, certainly I had to deal with that issue with my daughter. And, you know, although I hate to tell this to people, the reality is that from every study that I've read and I've done, that the numbers and stats of children of, you know, when you have a gay parent, definitely higher chance of having a gay child.
Yes.
And my contention has always been that, you know, this is genetically predisposed.
Absolutely.
So based on, I feel that you never find gay isolated. There's always somebody, a cousin, a nephew, a family member.
It doesn't come from
right.
nothing is how I put it. It doesn't come from nothing. You find out the homophobic grandfather is the one who's also gay.
Exactly. But I tell women that it's so important not to confuse the issues here, although it's so hard sometimes. You know, because now, you know, once you find out your husband's gay, your whole life is now over because of gay. And a lot of times people, you know, mix their own healing in with the, you know, catastrophe, the whole thing with the kids. And I tell them, if you have a gay child and they hear negative gay stuff, it's only going to push them further back into the closet. And they're going to feel that they can't come out to their mother, or that their mother's not going to love them if she didn't love their father. That it's really important to let, you know, your children know that, you know, gay is not a choice. Your dad didn't have a choice in being gay. If we're not getting along, you know, it's not because, you know, he made the wrong choice. It's, you know, he is who he is. We have other
uh-huh.
issues.
And you have to love them for who they are and not make a big deal about the fact that gay, everybody, you have to say, first of all, we in the organization are not homophobic. We are
uh-huh.
not. We don't say things about all gay people are bad or whatever. You just don't happen to like the gay person who was married to you because he's trying to screw you on the way out of the marriage and take everything. But we have lots and lots of people in our organization who are one of our very high-level people who still work with her husband 40 hours a week. And occasionally
yeah.
they go on vacation with him and his husband and the children and their spouses. And, you know, it's just what they do sometimes. They get together for the holidays because on the way out, he didn't try to take everything. He didn't say, I'm moving forward and taking everything I can. And, you know, you're my past. The heck with you all. So a lot
right.
depends on how you behave during the divorce, if there is one.
That's what I always say, you know, that you can, if you can end this as friends and the friendship you ever had and be responsible to your family, be responsible to your wife. You know, when you have children, it's very different than when you don't. When you don't have children, you can walk away. But when you have children, you're really tied together for life, and it's so important if there's any way to be friends, but it has to be earned. You know, I'm not a big believer in just giving forgiveness. You have to earn that forgiveness. You have to earn that friendship. And if you're going to be a jerk to your family, then your family's not going to bother with you.
And that's not the way you treat your friends.
Exactly. If you wouldn't treat your friends that way, why are you treating your family that way?
Mm-hmm.
But once again, I know a lot of these guys, when they're first coming into their gay life, you know, all of a sudden everything else is secondary, including their family.
Mm-hmm.
Which I don't
and
think
they're
that's...
out of the adolescent candy store at that point. My goodness, now I know, and now I can do what I want to do and what I've wanted to do all along. And, you know, they too are only going to live their one life, and they should live the best life they can.
And a lot of times they feel resentment because they feel, you know, on some kind of psychological level, I know it doesn't make any sense at all, especially to us as wives, but some of them really do feel that it's because of us that they were deprived of having the life they wanted to have.
We imprisoned them in this marriage.
Exactly.
They feel like a prisoner, and we are the jail guard, and they feel imprisoned in the marriage and not free to do what they really want to do.
Exactly. So the blame goes back to us. And these men can get really very abusive. Misty, you could probably address that, right?
Well, we haven't had serious abuse, but we've had some verbal and some we haven't had a lot of physical abuse in my group, but we certainly have had emotional and psychological abuse, and
I know,
you know, putting you down and being financially abusive of the money's all mine, and you know, I made the money, so it's my money, and I'll dole it out to you how I see fit, kind of stuff.
That's the whole thing. But I know that Misty, you went through your own physical abuse, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, that doesn't mean, as she just said, you know, the abuse I went through with my gay ex-husband is not connected to him being gay. I got that in addition to him being gay. You know, some days him being gay was the least of our issues in the relationship because he was such an abusive person. And I'm quite sure he probably carried that on to his gay relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Of being abusive to the, you know, to his partner today, which is very unfortunate. But yes, there was definitely tones of physical, verbal abuse. I mean, constantly. The longer the marriage went on, the more escalated, the more dangerous it became. And when it's so unfortunate and so embarrassing in the beginning, and now I'm not at all embarrassed to tell it because, you know, I try to educate women. I am an educated woman. And when you're living this cycle of abuse, you just don't see how dangerous it is when it escalates. You're just so clueless as to what you're living inside of and just the dangers of it. And you just really have to be aware of that when you're in any type of situation that there is any type of domestic violence going on, because it's very dangerous. It's very dangerous. And It's like I said, it's not connected to him being gay. I just got the icing on top of the cake. He was gay and an abusive person too. So it was definitely very trying many days, and it kept me dancing harder and harder inside the circle of crazy. And I was always one of those people that said, I will not put up with this, I will not put up with that. Well, guess what? I did. But I've learned a lot, you know. I've learned a lot. And just, it was never easy. There was never an easy day. But just, you do have to be aware of that there are, and some people are very shocked. Oh, there's, you know, domestic violence, and, you know, there's some tones of abuse in your relationship. Well, he's gay. Gay men don't do that. Well, that's a myth. There are some gay men that are very abusive. That doesn't mean they're abusive because they're gay. You know, we just have, you know, people come in all sorts of different packages. So, you just have to be aware of that, and just always be mindful and be careful of that. And the first thing is make sure you're safe.
I think physical violence is a learned behavior, and I think if you come from a family where there was physical violence, it's very easy to keep perpetrating that. And the more frustrated you get because you're not in the marriage you should be in to start with, I think the more that, you know, it's much more common that it will take place than if you're in a situation where you're not as feeling pressured.
Absolutely.
And they're mad at themselves, and so they're mad at you. They're angry because they're gay. They're angry because they're not free to act on their urges the way that other people are. And I think that some people do take that out on their spouses or being, you know, imprisoned in this marriage that they can't get out of. And that they really don't want to be in either.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So, Carol, before we go, we would like to just give people some more information about Faith Spouse Network. You know,
wonderful.
Faith Network is all over the, not only the country, but all over the world. There's groups in Australia.
Germany, Israel, you name it. England, we're all over the place. New Zealand.
All over. And if there's not a group, I guess somebody can get one started. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can just apply, and we are starting new groups all the time. Like I say, we recently started one in Connecticut, and we recently started one on Long Island here in the New York metro area, and I'm around the country. Just everything happens through our website. It's www.straightspouse.org.
Okay,
everything happens through there.
Great. Okay, I'll do that one more time. www.straightspouse.org, O-R-G.
Right.
And all the different activities are on there, Carol, am I right?
Everything is on there. Everything happens through there. If you need a phone number, we have 201-825-7763, and that will put you onto our executive director and, you know, the phone way of getting through to us. But basically,
right,
Everything's online.
And, you know, if you're looking for support, and that's the great thing about Straight Spouse Network, you need support on any issue, staying in a marriage, staying out of a marriage, being with someone who's calling himself bisexual, asexual, metrosexual, any kind of sexual.
Transgender, anything.
Transgender, transsexuals, transvestite.
We have a very large tent. There's something for everyone out there. We have a very large tent.
Yeah, a large tent. So if you're looking for that tent, get in touch with the Straight Spouse Network. And if you need to get in touch with Carol, you can just email me at bonk@aol.com, and I will forward your message to Carol. And, Carol, I really appreciate your coming on because you always give wonderful insight, and you're a wonderful guest to have, and that's why we love having you. And I hope that means that you will come back with us in the fall again.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to join you on this program.
Okay, and like I said,
get the word out that if you have a situation where you're in a mixed orientation marriage, by all means, you know, get in touch and get help. You're not alone out there.
Right, you're not. And the Straight Spouse Network, you know, they'll give you the support you need if you want to do any of those combinations of things. And thank you so much, Carol, for being our guest. And we'll look forward to having you back in the fall, and I'll look forward to seeing you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks so much again. Have a good night.
Yeah,
right.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. Misty?
Yes.
I always love having Carol on this show because I'll tell you you know, she's really a wonderful guest. And she really works hard to help women in their situation. I mean, she's very dedicated to this. I've known Carol, I guess, close to 10 years now.
Wow.
And that's a long time. And, you know, she's always out there, always really raising the flag, you know, to try to get people support that they need. And quite frankly, you know, I hate to put it this way, but whenever people need support that I can't give them, I certainly send them to Carol.
Absolutely.
So, as you know, I feel that telling people that I can support their marriages is not what I do. You know, I am that black and white person. I'm not going to have that shade of gray. But, you know, I understand sometimes people just don't want to give up hope. So I do send them to the Straight Spouse Network. And at least there's a place for them to go. So that's why I think it's a great, you know, at least to have a resource like that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So anything else you'd like to mention, Misty?
No, it's just, it was wonderful. I love having her on there. I like her, she's a wonderful guest, and I just like to reiterate something she says that, you know, it just rings true to me, reflecting on my situation. You know, for so many of the women that say, you know, if I just had proof, I could move forward. You know, sometimes you won't find proof, and you really just have to, you know, dig deep, search your soul, search your heart, your inside, whatever it is you need to call it, and just ask yourself, is this, you know, take the gay out of the picture. Is this a marriage that is supplying what you need? Is it a marriage that's given you the love, the nurture, you know, the nurturing that you deserve? Is there equality there in that love and nurturing? And, you know, sex is an important part of a relationship. Don't let someone tell you that it's not, because it is. It's healthy to have a good sexual relationship with your partner. And I think so many of our women are talked down on that and told, well, you know, that's, you know, it's just sex. It's not important. Well, it is. It's a bonding experience that you know, that many people, that's the only person they share with is with their partner. And, you know, it's, so you have to ask yourself, you know, if you throw the gay out of the picture, because you may never get proof. There may never be proof. Is this a relationship that's truly nurturing you, feeding your soul, growing you to who you wish to become, and moving you and your partner into the direction that you wish to be in? And if it's not, you know, you may need to take inventory and make some decisions.
Well, one thing I tell women, Misty, and I think that this is how I break it down, and it kind of makes, I think this is like the tiebreaker here, as they call it. But I say to women, you have a daughter or you have a sister, would you want her married to your husband?
I love that question.
They always say no. I mean, I've never had one person yet, when I ask that question, I've been doing this now this past, you know, couple of years, so I've probably asked a couple thousand women. Not one woman has ever said yes. So, I mean,
exactly.
That's just volume for itself. That if it's not good enough for your child or your sister or your best friend, why is it good enough for you? Why do you want to have to sit there when you wouldn't want them to be sitting there?
Exactly.
And I tell women, you have to be role models to your children. The children, you know, it's a monkey see, monkey do, monkey act, just like you syndrome. That if your children see that you stay in a loveless marriage where you're upset and you're depressed, you're walking on eggshells every day, you know, when they see that this is the way you live life, they're doomed to repeat that for themselves, because that's what they think that marriage is about.
I know.
Do you agree?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, I've worked with a lot of children over the years, not just in divorce, on many different issues, being a therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes adults think that they hide issues from children. And let me be the first to tell you, if you don't already know this, you really don't hide things from children. They pick up on things. Children are very, very intuitive beings. They may not can tell you exactly what's going on, but they sense those things. They know something's going on. They sense tension. They know something's not right. Children know when things are not on the up and up. They know. They're very brilliant. They know these things. So you're not saving your child from anything. You're really not. And
you
I agree with Carol.
Children
the
know
better,
when their
the
mother
is
happy.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, they know their mom's not happy. They can tell, even though you try. You know, so many women say, well, I hide it from my kids. No, you don't. You think your children don't know you well enough that then you're not happy, or they see you crying, or, you're, you know, you're hiding it. You think they don't see it? I mean, come on. Kids today are so sophisticated. They can just take a look at you and know what's going on. So your children know it, and you owe it to them to be happy. I mean, they're never going to be happy if you're not happy.
Right.
You know, they take personal responsibility. They're going to think it's their fault you're not happy. And no matter how many times you say, no, no, it has nothing to do with that, a lot of times what it really comes down to, that children feel, well, my parents would not have stayed in this situation if it weren't for us. So, you know, we must be the cause of their unhappiness. And believe me, it takes its toll. We could do a whole show, and like 10 of them, just on this subject.
But
we won't. Instead, we're going to tell all of our listeners that we appreciate your listening to us.
Absolutely.
And we hope that you have a wonderful, wonderful week.
Mm-hmm.
And Misty and I will be back here with you next week. And all we can say is that, you know, just hang in there. If you need support, write to me at bondk@aol.com. Thank you for your beautiful messages that you do send. I know some of you hang on to this show. Even if you're not listening live, at least you feel you have something you can go back to. And we send our love to all of our listeners here in the United States, in the United Kingdom, in Australia, and in Mexico. I mean, from wherever we hear from you from, We wish you a wonderful week, and remember, life was never meant to be this complicated. We're here to help you uncomplicate it. All right, Misty, so I'll let you sign off and say goodnight first.
Good night and love to all.
Good night and love to all of you, including you, Misty, and I'll be talking to you during the week.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.